That's really weird.
It was awful. That was their sins, original sin, or whatever the hell it was. The entire idea of original sin is basically them just saying everyone in the Marvel Universe has been a dick at one time or another.
Yeah.
When the soul of the city was laid to rest, and the night's forgotten and left for
Alright, everybody, welcome back to Collected Issues. This is episode...
Session.
Session.
These are your rules.
The sessions was yours. That was your
rule. Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Session 9? Is this Session 9?
Session 9.
Session 9. Man, we're getting there. I'll tell you what. It's crazy. I don't know where we're getting to, but we're getting there.
I don't know. I think we can celebrate at Session 52.
Because that means we've done it for one every week, or because it's we've now joined the Time
Warner
conglomerate.
No. Okay. It'd be one a week. Although all these like 0.5 episodes,
yeah,
that's got to stop.
Yeah, I think so. Well, sometimes if we did what we originally wanted to do with the 0.5 episodes, where it was like 5 to 10 minutes and not 20 minutes, like it was a full episode.
Yeah, we're finding that we're incapable.
Yeah, apparently
of that.
Considering we just talk about – so what are we talking about with Guardians of the Galaxy this week? That's all we talk about.
Our greatest follow-up to that one movie.
We're working on something space.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Guardians of Bruce and Mike.
Guardians of Bruce and Mike.
Did we introduce ourselves this episode?
No. This is Mike, though.
This is Bruce.
Hey, welcome back to Collected Issues.
Hey, everybody.
Bruce and Mike are going to sit down on the couch with each other again. So.
Thumbs up asses and go.
But no, we're so here. I do have a question. So I know you really want to work on Finite and everything, which I'm really, getting out of my job and having more time to actually use my brain and not just think about how do I not hate my life right now at work every day. When are you going to finish issue 4 for Iron and Ink?
3 still needs some dialogue edits.
Okay.
And I'm going to – after I finish Finite issue 1, I'm going to jump back onto Iron and Ink 4.
Okay.
I've already got a lot of it plotted out and some thumbnails.
Okay, cool.
So, I mean – and you know, frankly, Iron and Ink's easier than Finite.
Yeah.
Is it
drawing the things in space, or is it because you're working with me?
Some of that there, yeah, because I like to show you things, keep you in the loop.
Yeah.
And, you know, heaven help me if you actually have an opinion on something and tell me no once, because that'll create some work.
Yeah.
Iron and Ink, I'm doing it by hand, and that's just quicker.
Okay.
I'm not drawing it digitally. Iron and Ink isn't in color.
Oh, that's a good point, too.
Things can look a little dirtier on Iron and Ink.
And for a good reason, too. The Old West setting and everything like that, you know, so, I mean, that, yeah. It works out well. But, I was this way with Justin, too. I don't know what to tell you no on, because I am clearly not an artist, you know what I mean?
No.
There are things that I look for in a page and stuff like that, and if you cover that and you draw it, like I mean, every artist is subjective to begin with, you know what I mean? Most things
right,
are subjective.
Right. I mean, as long as I'm not just, you know.
No,
drawing penises here and there, and then splash pages of forehead wrinkles.
Yeah, as long as you're not what was it that Ethan Van Sciver, remember in X-Men, he tried to figure out a way to write sex in almost like every he drew it into like
– Oh, yeah, but in like leaves and shit. Why was he doing that?
Just to be funny. He did it because he was having disputes with Marvel over some stuff, because they kept having him do a fill-in book, and they liked him. They liked what his work was, but they wouldn't give him regular work, is what it was.
Oh, okay.
From what I remember reading about it. So it was kind of
– That's not how you get regular work.
Yeah. But it was well, if you've ever I know you don't like Ethan Van Sciver, but if you ever talked to – or like heard him talk and stuff like that, he's kind of a dick. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
Like, he's – so I mean if somebody's not treating him right – I mean did you ever read his Cyberfrog book that he did?
Nope.
It's – He even like openly admits that it's Larson influence rubbish is the way he refers to it as. So it's just kind of funny. But no, like, I mean, I really enjoy your artwork. I think it's stylistic and doesn't look like, you know what I mean? It's not like everybody's artwork. You know what I mean? Like there's sometimes like a very modern look to it and everything. I like that yours is a little more textured. The way like Scott Collins and, you know, Bachala, the guys that you like and everything. Like,
yeah.
I like how you add that kind of texture.
Yeah, I rough it up.
Things aren't all pretty like in like the world is, you know what I mean? And
right.
Some artists like you get like, you know, Ivan Reis and, you know, George Perez. And I love George Perez. But everything's beautiful all the time. Yeah. It doesn't matter what it is. I like more of the Jack Kirby influence these days now where stuff is not meant to look pretty all the time. You know what I mean? Like
right.
Even good looking things there's imperfections in it. And things like that. So,
well, you've seen the first five pages, which, you know, maybe with this episode I'll go ahead and post, you know, thumbnail sizes.
Yeah.
Of them, and it this is in color. I mean, it is something different. You know, there's no panel borders, which took me a while to get used to. I'm trying a lot of different things.
I like the panel layouts that you're using a lot now too. Like, just it's very non-grid. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And which it really
is weird because I mean it's not like a simple grid layout, but
yeah. It
is very like heavy math based,
methodical, right? You have to really like delegate a certain amount of, you know, space for each thing too. Still.
Yeah.
Probably more doing stuff like that. And I mean, I imagine this is why people when they stylize panels. And I'm not saying you're like overly like J.H. Williams does. You know what I mean?
Oh
like,
God, no. And
his panels are insanely stylized. You know what I mean? So
yeah, I'm not doing it. I'm just, you know, throwing some circles in here and there, and then not having anything overlap really.
Right. I think it's really cool, and it reminds me a little bit of the way that you did the Adventure Time stuff.
Yeah, that's me experimenting with that idea.
And I like that. I think it's really cool, and it really fits the motif of the book a lot, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just
let's talk a little bit, because I think it was, I don't know, like 12 episodes into the past of the break-ins, we had the idea for Finite.
Maybe, yeah, something like that.
Let's recap that quickly.
Okay, so you came up with the basic or a lot of the ideas for it, and
I don't know. I remember our conversation being about, we were talking about Star Trek and the Legion of Superheroes.
Yes.
And we're talking like Star Trek, you know, there's always the seven people on the bridge, and I was just saying that there are too many damn people in the Legion of Superheroes.
Oh my God, it's way too overcomplicated.
And we were talking, you know, if like all the crew died except for like,
oh, you know what? I kind of remember what this spawned off of too.
Okay,
your phone about how Android apps or like apps on your phone are meant to do one specific thing.
Right, and they're only good at that one thing.
What happens if – and I thought you were joking at first because I'm like, oh man, this would be hysterical. And then you're like, but I'm being serious. And I'm like, okay, we could do something with this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was like, what happens if something else on your phone was responsible for running something it's not supposed to run?
Yeah.
What happens to those things? How do they – how would a program overcome this? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Things with sentient processes. And so Crew was born, which Critical Response Unit.
Our kind of main character?
Yeah, kind of main character.
I guess.
And his sole purpose is exactly what it says, is to find quick solutions when in dire need when something is in dire need on the ship and to fix it by any means possible. And he has in the name itself a finite time that he's supposed to be around.
Yep.
30 minutes, right? Is that what we said?
Roughly.
Roughly 30 minutes. And then he's done. Like either he dies, but it's not technically dying. You know?
No, I mean, he's supposed to be like thrown back into the system.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, you close the app.
Yes. But yeah, if you had an app that was just supposed to run something and then just shut off, that's his sole purpose.
Yeah.
What happens if that app that's made for this limited time period had to be in command essentially? You're dying, and your phone is responsible for saving your life essentially at this point in time.
Yeah, but you've lost the ability to dial 911.
Yes.
You have no sort of medical support apps.
It's sound kind of comical, but it's serious. I mean, I think it's kind of a touching story too.
Back to the Star Trek type of thing. It's if you just would grab like seven random people that we've seen walk behind Picard and all them in the hallways, and be like, okay, here's a starship, go.
Yep.
And, I mean,
do you realize I'm a medical officer, right?
Well, yeah, we always run into those. There's always that guest star character who's like, well, I'm an astrophysicist, or I'm an interface technician.
Yeah.
They'll pop up for 10, 15 minutes on an episode here and there when they're necessary.
Well, you think about something like Firefly. Everybody, everybody does almost everything on that ship. Like, they kind of got to know everything. But then you have what's Malcolm's on and again, off again girlfriend, who's the prostitute or whatever.
Inara.
Inara. What the hell good is she on a ship for? Like, if she had to fly the ship, that thing's going down quick.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Her medical knowledge is very limited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
you'll die, but you'll feel good dying.
The thing that really hooked me, that has been my motif for how I've been treating this series forever, as you were explaining some of the ideas behind the series, you said, oh my God, I just realized that the Fantastic Four just found Jack Kirby dead and they have to get him back to Stan Lee.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, this is – And I'm like, not that we're going to write a Fantastic Four story, but that essential idea of two essential creators or have like a legacy, have a high importance, I guess is the way I really want to say. And how do these characters or these individuals reunite them, for the moments, Like, sure. I'm like –
They're beloved characters.
Yeah, that's such an endearing thing. Could you imagine and this is so ridiculous. Could you imagine when Jack Kirby was dying on his deathbed? Roz is sitting next to him, his children and everything. And like Ben Grimm and Reed and everybody just came in there and said, you have to see Stan before you go to make things right. What I mean? Oh my God, I want to cry right now just thinking about it.
Yeah, heartbreaking.
Yes, it's terrible, but it's such a good story too. Like there's going to be there's going to be a feel good moment about it too. You know what I mean? That not only is this is it something about people reconnecting or anything like that, but you're talking about almost like an existential thing where this is the thing that binds these two. When you think of Jack Kirby and Stan Lee, you got the X-Men and everything, but what was their defining thing? It was the Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
That they 102 issues or something like that. It was, that these guys worked on this book for these things are reuniting them together because this is the center of the world.
It's,
for everything.
It's beautiful, and I think I oversold you on it.
I did, but the one issue where I just went ham on it, and I like came up with such an idea because I saw a crazy Jack Kirby thing, and trying to tie it into somewhat mythology and everything.
Yeah.
I mean that was my whole I wrote that whole thing based off of just that, and I love the ideas that you can. Because of the mind that Kirby has and because of the ideas that Stan had, like you get so much from comics and you can – I don't want to say clone or mimic, but you can take essential parts of some of the stories and use those to what we need. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I think that's brilliant. I think
it's great. Can look at the path that's been laid out before you and take one step to the left of it.
Correct.
Yeah.
So and I think that's the great thing about these characters who have to develop themselves and see like and that's the other thing. These characters have to learn things too, and because it's like taking somebody who's worked coal mining for 30 years of their life and be like, you have to program this computer or the world's gonna die.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That like who wouldn't try their damnedest to do it, you know what I mean?
Right. And who do they have to turn to for help?
Yeah.
A hairdresser.
A gamer.
No.
Are we given the names?
No.
Okay.
I'm just saying, for example.
Yeah, a sentient being of death. Communication specialist to some degree.
A ham radio operator.
A ham radio operator.
A mortician. A hairdresser.
Yeah.
A clerk.
A mortician. I like it. That's a good way to describe that. Crazy. A mortician.
A clerk at Best Buy.
Yeah, pretty much. Man, it's
And a rent-a-cop.
And a rent-a-cop. Yeah, exactly. That's like, but they're I mean, do we want to talk about the ship or anything, or like the purpose of why they're in their situation? Or are we going to solicit that kind of once we get a little bit more into it?
No, I just wanted to let people out there know that, you know, we are working, and you know this isn't just a podcast of us reviewing other things too. We're still making our own stuff.
But we work is the other problem too.
Yeah.
And Bruce works a lot more than I do. And I just, not like he works at an office all the time, but his basement is unfortunately his office a lot of time too. So, and we all need to pay bills because that's a good
thing. Stupid people keep giving me money to do stupid things.
Hey man, you know what? Stupid people give you good money to do stupid things. How about that? This would be like, Mike, we want you to just talk on this microphone about, like, if that dentist company called me up and says, could you do the narration for this? And I'm like, I don't know why you'd want me to do this. Here's $150 to do 2 minutes of recording. I'm like, okay, I can do this. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'll do that.
Yeah.
I have a voice like that. Like, that's, I can't do things like that on the computer, you know, so that's what I'm for. So, I don't know. Yeah, but
I'm glad you've enjoyed, what I have to show you of Finite so far.
Oh yeah. I mean, and the thing that, The beginning is so I think the first issue is so fast paced to begin with and everything, and it gives you enough of the beats that you need to know about the characters and everything. But I think that the reactions that you give the characters, and like, you know, like there's not dull moments on a page. I feel like, except for one character who doesn't have a face. you know what I mean? That's the thing that's great is that. Every page, and I remember watching a documentary about Stan Lee that he would watch soap operas, and when he would talk to you know, Ditko or Jack Kirby or something like that, he would show him on soap operas. He's like, look at this reaction, and he said he would lay on the couch and like give this horrifying look with his hands in the air. He's like you need to have. He's like, if you freeze frame that, he's like, that's the emotion you need to have. Just, it's overacting, but it sells what it needs to sell. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying yours is overacting, but it's just, I just think of that picture of Crew where he's in pain, and I'm just like, man, you feel the anguish off of that, you know?
Good, good.
Yeah, I like it.
I know you're happy with all the ship design. There, maybe more thought went into this for me than any project I've ever worked on before, because it's world building.
Oh yeah,
we talk about profit a lot, and we love that. And I'm like, okay, can I do that?
Yeah, that is a little bit of a base for this too, to some degree, because of the amount of world building that you have to do. And I mean, I'm talking basic concepts here, but not like we're like, well, what happens if they had to go and resurrect a guy who's been, you know what I mean? Nothing along that lines. But
no, I'm trying to make the, you know, I want aliens to look like aliens,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I want spaceships to look like.
Nothing you've seen before.
Yeah.
To some degree.
Kinda.
The only thing I said, what, there's a couple things that I commented on. I said, well, that kind of looks like a little Hellboy, and that kind of looks like Zoidberg, and you're like, oh, I got to change some stuff.
And changed.
And just, yeah. I didn't do it to make you self-conscious of it, but when you have that second opinion and you look at it and everything, you're like, oh my God, I was way too influenced by that. You know what I mean? Like you see it a little bit. Yeah, it's just – I don't know. There's – I mean, I guess if that's helped you out in any, then I'm glad I could help out a little bit.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I can't wait to – it's good. I can't wait to actually script some of this and then
– Yeah, you just got to put words in their mouth now.
I can't wait to see this finished book. Like I can't wait to hold this in my hand. I've never been so excited to want to hold something like this. Like I remember when I did the first issue with Justin and Ray, it was just, I haven't had that feeling in so long, because after the first issue, or you know, the first couple of issues, we didn't connect on the same level,
right?
And it was just hard to at that point in time, and it's just, I can't wait to have that feeling again, you know?
Well, I'm penciling page 6, and I've got 7 and 8 thumbnailed.
It's outstanding. And, yep, we're doing full books, too? 20, what, 20 pages?
20 No. Remember, it's 16 pages, but it's 16 pages.
Yes.
Yeah.
So 16
don't,
pages.
Don't promise the people something we can't deliver, Mike.
I just want to make sure I'm clarifying. But I know I can't wait to see what it looks like. And I think once people could see it, I mean, I get the feeling your cousin will love this book too, by the way.
I would like to think, you know, most people would like it, but like I'm approaching different things different ways now. And I keep thinking about, okay, when I go to put the dialogue down, how am I going to letter that?
Yeah.
Because panels without borders. So dialogue bubbles without borders.
It's
color, so does everyone speak in a different colored font?
You know what? Ooh.
Or does everyone speak in totally different fonts? And then it's like, well, that you're going to be overdoing it.
Yeah.
But would you?
Right.
And then some of the aliens, we've kind of talked about, okay, so they don't understand each other.
Yeah.
So do I do just gibberish?
Symbols, or like is like as translated, you know, the old,
yeah, exactly, with the asterisks down at the bottom type of thing. I'm like, I know, but do we even want the readers to know what they're saying?
Right, until like, right, yeah, exactly. That gives me some more to think about too. That's interesting. Wow, I'm really kind of excited. And like I said, I came up with I may want to try to sneak a character in there too that I came up with too that I don't know. For another issue, and maybe even find a way to do a spinoff series onto it. I know that sounds ridiculous, but I came up with this really kind of crazy idea because of watching like Guardians and listening to the soundtrack and everything that we could. There's something.
Well, save it.
I'm gonna save it, so I'm not gonna tell it. I had a good idea.
Let's call it a day here. Let's wrap this up.
All right. So for session 9, this is Mike.
This is Bruce, and thanks for listening to us kind of toot our own horn prematurely.
Yeah, or listen to our idea bounces.
See everybody next week.
Have a good one. Bye.